I don't want y'all to miss the end times. I don't want y'all to miss the last days. We're in the last days. I don't want you to miss the last days. Now, Joel said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out all of my... He said, God's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh in these last days. And so I want you to be awake and fully ready for God to bless you so that you're not distracted with all sorts of cultural mumbo jumbo, from climate change to cultural intellect to whatever else might get into your soul, politics, all that. Listen, I don't want you to miss these last days. The Spirit's coming. The Spirit's pouring. Many people are already in it. Our job is to get everybody else in it. I want your teenagers in it. I want the young adults in it. Every real person in the world is looking for God, looking for real something from heaven. Every single human really wants something real from God. There's a cry for something supernatural in every one of us. Somebody said there's a God-shaped hole in every one of us. People are trying to fill it with all sorts of other junk. No, 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 you're going to miss the glory of God. So we don't want you to miss it. So plug into God. Even though the world is pretty heavy and distracting, do whatever you can. Fight the fight of faith to make yourself spend some time and seek the Lord. That's where the glory is going to come. That's where you're really going to get happy. So what I want to do today is bring us close to our Heavenly Father. Bring us close to our Heavenly Father. If you get close to him, you'll see he's the everlasting Father. You'll see he's an abundant Father. You'll see that he's got way more than enough for your life. But you got to get close to him. We're not begging for crumbs. People without God beg for crumbs. God, if you could just please, please, please spare a little blessing. No, no, no. If you knew God, your face would light up. You would no longer be a beggar. You would be a happy, holy, joyful, fully confident son or daughter of God. So if you'll stick around, we'll help you get there. In 40 minutes, you're going to get there today. I've never preached a 40-minute message here yet. So 1 hour, you will get there. You never know. Matthew 6, just want you to see this one term. In this passage, Jesus is telling us not to worry about basic necessities. You got plenty because you have a Heavenly Father. And so he says, don't worry. How can you, by worrying, get anywhere in life, basically? Why do you worry about clothes? Why do you worry about money? Why do you worry about all these things, you of little faith? Then he says this, verse 31, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or how are we going to pay the bills? Doesn't say that, but... Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knows you need all these things. Now he says the word Gentiles, it just means those without covenant. Back then it was Jews had covenant, all non-Jews had no covenant. So he's just saying all the people without a covenant are seeking these things, worried about these things. He says your Heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. All what things? Well, just go to Amazon. Some of you are living that dream already. You got Christmas every day on the doorstep. Just every other day feels like Christmas. What did I order? I don't even know what I ordered, but it must be on the porch. God is, he's got more than enough everything. Money, mercy, forgiveness, righteousness, relationships. He's got more peace for you than you could ever, you could have so much peace in your life, nothing would disturb you. Jesus had so much peace in his life, he could sleep in the boat during the storm. On a pillow. He needed a pillow, but on the pillow, he was asleep. You could have so much peace that nothing disturbs you. So draw a little closer to God. Let's get to know our Heavenly Father. He's abundant in all these wonderful things. Everything you need in life, he's got plenty more. You just got to go get it from him. Amen. It's like Brother Jim goes around with his little candy bag. All the kids look for Jim on every Sunday. He's got more than enough for every kid. And they know it too. And guess what? Because those kids know it, what do? What do? They wake up talking about it. You think Brother Jim's going to be at church today? You think Brother Jim's going to be at church today? Isn't that right? If you could treat God that way, you'd get you some mercy. You could have some joy. You'd have plenty of money, full supply. You'd have all the love you need if you trusted God that much. He's an abundant God. He's got more than you can contain. Hallelujah. Some people kind of lose hope through life. Some teenagers are losing hope. Some middle-age. Some older people have lost some hope. But I have a scripture from Ecclesiastes I wanted to quote. The end of the matter is better than its beginning. That means tomorrow is better than yesterday. You need to think that the rest of your life is going to be better than the former. Go ahead and just trust the Lord and say, okay, well, my end will be better. Seems like our beginning might have been better. And you find people longing for the old days. Well, I got a scripture for that. Ecclesiastes 7:10 says, do not say, why were the old days better than these? So you gray-headed folks, don't be talking about I just don't know about these. It was so much better in my day. It says don't do that. Listen, you got to be happy today. You got to be content today. You got to do it right today. It actually says, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. The Bible covers all of your silly, idle thinking and talking. Here's one from Isaiah 60. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. If you've been mourning, if you've been down, if you've been depressed, if you've been devastated, come on, those end today. You got to let those end today. Matter of fact, that's what we're going to do up here first thing today after we're done, is we're going to get you up here and we're going to end the days of your mourning. The grief has to end, the sadness has to end, the depression has to end, the hopelessness has to end today. Today! It must. Jesus has risen. The day star must rise in your heart. That's all reality. We want it to happen today. So you altar workers, you get ready. Today you're going to end people's depression. You're going to end their sadness and their mourning. Glory. Hallelujah. Scripture from, I know we're gonna get to Matthew 7 in just a minute, but I'm going to quote some more since so many people are a little slow turning in the Bible. It's okay. Psalm 24:7 says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Now, that sounds really cute, but what does that mean? Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Well, put yourself in there. Personify this. You're the gate. And be lifted up, you everlasting door. Open the door. Jesus is the door. Let him come in. Remember? And then he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll open, I'll come in. And then I looked this up because of last Sunday. We had a word, a prophecy. And it said, the Lord is ready. He's at the door. We had a prophecy in here. The Lord is ready. He's at the door. He's ready to come in. He's ready to come in, so open the door. Open the door and use your faith and open the door. He's coming in and he'll still the storm and he'll fix the scene. He's ready to come in. This whole idea, he's the everlasting door. He's everlasting to everlasting. Everything you need is in that word. I mean, then it's forever. Hallelujah. He's called the everlasting King. He's called the everlasting God. It's an everlasting kingdom. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Come on, he never runs out. God never runs out. He's got plenty more for you. He's got plenty more for you. Have you ever sinned too much and thought, wow, I don't know how he could ever forgive me again? He'll forgive you again. If you've ever been kind of foolish for like a decade or two, and you think, I don't know how he could ever bless a fool, he will. He's got more blessing for you. No matter how stupid you've been, no matter how wrong you've been, no matter how much neglect, he's ready for you. And it feels like, you know, I don't know how I could make up for all the bad that I've done. I don't have enough time to make up for all the bad and do enough good. It doesn't work that way. You don't get to earn by making up for the bad. You get the good by just simply looking upward and opening up the door and say, come on in. He said, if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. That can happen in 30 seconds. You might have messed up for 3 months, disappeared for 3 months, and in 30 seconds, he's back with you. I mean, he's always with you, but you could feel him. 30 seconds, you get his presence again. So you need to know that for the rest of your life, that he's your only answer, he's your only source, he's your everlasting Father. Jesus was predicted to be the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Remember that song? One of my favorite songs. Glory to God. Matthew 7. Here's one way Jesus describes it in the New Testament. Because in the Old Testament, he was not really called Father of the Jews. Abraham was father of the Jews in the Old Testament. They didn't know God as Father. So when Jesus came to the earth, started preaching and ministering, he started telling his disciples, hey, when you pray, you can call him Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. That didn't start till Jesus. And so it was kind of a shocking revelation. It's like, I don't know how to relate to God that way. Well, listen, you and I go through the same thing. He's not just God in the clouds or God in the mountains or God way off somewhere. He's your heavenly Father. So you need to spend some time drawing close to him in that realm, meaning your soul needs to know it. Your soul needs to feel the sonship, fatherhood relationship. Some people grew up without a great father-son, father-child relationship with their parent. But listen, you're going to have to go ahead and by faith, trust that the father-child relationship is wonderful, especially when it comes to your heavenly Father, because he's way better than every good father. He's way better than every good parent in here. I'm telling you, he's like way more better. This is what Jesus said. He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone? Well, he said everyone. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, meaning of the earth, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? How much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? If you, parent on the earth, take care of your kids, how much more will God take care of you? You getting this? God will give you everything you need. He knows what you need. He'll give you everything and more. But you got to trust him. You got to learn how to trust him right. This truth has been here all this time. But for you to experience it, you got to believe it. For you to experience it, you got to have this in your soul. It's like, we already know all this. Yeah, but is it in your soul? Has it registered in your spirit? This is the next 15 minutes. You can be the judge of that. Hallelujah. The word trust, if you look in the Old Testament, the word trust means to flee into refuge. You know, I trust under his wings. It means to go get some safety, to confide and hope in God. And in the Greek, the word trust means to hope or to be fully persuaded regarding something that you're trusting God for. Go to John 16. And this is where you can connect the scripture we read in 1 Timothy regarding command those who are rich not to trust in uncertain riches. Learn to trust in God. For all your financial needs, how are you going to trust in God? You're going to have to find a way to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. And trust in the Lord. He'll bring it to pass. How are you going to trust in God? You're going to have to learn how to trust. Remember those, some companies do this team building thing where they do the trust falls. You ever done a trust fall? Where you stand and somebody stands behind you and you fall backwards, trusting that they're going to get you. And it feels a little awkward. It's like, I sure hope they're there. Have you ever seen the video where they had somebody on a table and they said, go ahead and fall, and they fell forward instead of backward. That was not pretty. I didn't see the end. Sometimes you got to turn it off before you see the end. But this is you and I how to relax and trust in the Lord. One time the Lord had spoke to me. I was driving in the car. I remember where I was. It was so predominant. I remember I was over here at the Beltway in 290, and I'm making the U-turn or turning right, and the Lord spoke these words to me. He said, you know, I've given a people a weapon called prayer, a secret weapon called prayer. He said, but prayer is supposed to replace the worry. He said, if you find yourself worrying after you prayed, then what you did was not prayer. It was just worrying out loud. Prayer is not just you expressing how frantic and fearful and worried you are. No, prayer is supposed to be your connection to God, which relinquishes your worry and receives only the trust factor. Supposed to replace it. So this is how you can analyze your own life. If you're worrying after you've prayed, you better go back. You got to go back and start over. You got to go back and find a way to work this out. Listen. You got to work this out in your soul. You got to work it out on the inside of you so that you can sense full trust instead of slight worry. You got to work it out. You got to pray it a few times until it works out in your soul. Got to learn how to trust God fully. He'll help you if you can trust him. If you can't trust him, he has to wait for you. A lot of times you think you're waiting on God. No, he's waiting for you to fully trust him. Some of you remember my story when I had a sickness coming on, a cold coming on. And this is my first try as an adult to get healed. I'd been healed as a kid several times. So I knew God was healer. But as an adult, to make sure I could really do this, it was a little challenging. I had a little intimidation for a split moment. Then I thought, no, what? I'm going for it. So I quoted scripture for an hour, quoted scripture for 2 hours, quoted scripture for 3 hours, quoted scripture for 3.5 hours. And after 3.5 hours, the light came in. After 3.5 hours quoting scripture, all of a sudden I saw that I was healed. All of a sudden what I had been quoting came to life in me. I can say it a bunch of different ways, but it was like, wow, I see it. I am healed, even though I felt sick. My heart felt healed, even though my body felt sick, but I knew I got it. So I praised the Lord for another 30 minutes. And then I'm getting to this last point. Then I heard God speak to me for the first time in my life. I heard his words. And you don't have to always hear words, but occasionally you get to hear God speak. A lot of times it's just you know things, and that's how he's speaking to you. But in this case, I heard him. And he said this, he just said these simple words. He said, son, I won't let you down. I'm like, I've never heard those words. That must be God. And so I closed my Bible, went to bed, and woke up healed. Very special, very sweet to me, very relational with me. My Heavenly Father spoke to me, healed me. And even as big as that, he called me son. And then I realized that every time he speaks to me, he calls me son. Son. Now that's special. That's proof he's my Heavenly Father. That's how our spirits are supposed to feel. Because he put his spirit in your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Inside you is this call from your spirit man to Abba, Father. He's my Father. Live your life that way. Have confidence in your Heavenly Father. Put all of your confidence, trust fall into him. He'll never let you down if you can trust fall. I'll try not to use that example anymore, but it just seems like a lot of Christians still have not found the secret in falling into the arms of God for every need of life. That's for your joy, your relationships, your peace, your mercy, your forgiveness, money, health, healing, future, whatever it is, most people are still struggling and falling into the arms of God. But not us. Come on, today's the day you're going to learn how to do this. If I was going to college, man, I would have such an advantage over how I used to be. If you can know the Lord now, man, you'll have such a better life, such a better life. You'll avoid so many pitfalls. Look at John 16. Jesus is teaching his disciples. Verse 23, he said, "In that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." Notice he calls him the Father. He'll give you anything that you ask in Jesus' name. Does that mean anything? He'll give you anything you ask the Father. He'll give you anything that you ask the Father. Now, we're trusting you not to be ridiculous, but he'll give you anything. Okay? Now, he won't give you somebody else's spouse. Don't be asking that. He's not going to give you $100 million tomorrow. Oh, God, let me win the lottery. That'll just solve all my troubles. Okay, go ahead and trust in uncertain riches. We're trying to end your lottery dreams. How many have lottery dreams in here? Don't raise your hand. That is a trick question. Somebody next to you will throw an invisible water balloon at you. We're trying to end your lottery dreams so that you can trust God, so that you can learn how from this place, let's get real, from reality, we're trying to help you trust God. I mean, if your ship ever comes in, God will be driving the boat. It's not going to be some trick, some manipulation, some get-rich-quick scheme. So stop it. Well, if my YouTube video could go viral. Oh, cut it out. If you've got grace, get it from God and do it with all your heart. Don't be looking to get rich quick. Oh, I want to make millions without working very hard. You won't. Just ask every stock day trader that you've ever met. Stocks are not bad. The mutual funds aren't bad. The stock market is not bad. It's a business system. But the trickery of it is bad. So be careful, be careful, be careful. How many toes now feel stepped on? If you can make a good living, okay, okay. I'm willing to receive correction. I stand to be corrected if you're making a good living at it. Do I need to erase that out of the message? Just trying to help you. If you'll learn how to use money as a tool, then investing is wise, and the stock market can be very wise, but you got to be smart about it, and you got to follow God in it. All right, verse 25. He said, "These things I've spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming I'll no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I'll tell you plainly about the Father." Jesus is saying, while he was in the earth, he did mention the Father, and he tried to teach his disciples some things. He said, but I'm really teaching more in figurative language with parables. But the time's coming, I'm going to tell you plainly. Like there was like more to know about the Father. There was more relational instruction he was going to give us after we received the Holy Spirit. This is before they had the Holy Spirit, so he was holding back a lot of stuff they couldn't even handle. Now we got the Holy Spirit, and we can understand our Heavenly Father way more than the disciples did at this point. Verse 26, "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you." Look at that. The Father loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. Notice the qualification for the Father to love you is what? Look at it. You think about it. The qualification for the Father to love you is that you love Jesus. We need you to love Jesus. You're going to have to spend some time to love Jesus. Because if you're loving Jesus, trusting him as Lord and Savior, and really liking that, then the Father loves you. In general, he loves us. In general, he loves the whole world. But specifically, if you really love his Son, oh man, his heart beats for you. He's thinking about you more and more and more. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. There's this whole relational thing that God needs you to love his Son in order to receive you. Well, the good part about it is he's not loving you based on your good deeds. He's loving you based on your love for his son. If you're in Christ, he loves you so much. And therefore, he's your heavenly father. And therefore, everything you need is right there on the table. Praise the Lord. So we're not talking about ignoring your troubles, but replacing them with trust. You're going to have to learn how every dread that you have, like there's intimidations and dreads and fears in your heart regarding life situations, isn't there? Kids, grandkids, there's some big ones right there. Bank account, job, spouse, getting a spouse, keeping a spouse, whatever with your spouse. There's lots of needs, isn't there? There's lots of concerns, lots of struggles, and you wake up thinking everything's good, then you remember something. Oh, no, I knew there was something that I was worried about. Remember that? Happens all the time, doesn't it? Everything's great. Oh, but there was that one. Oh, yeah, that's that one thing. Okay, when you recognize little dreads, fears, scares, or whatever in your heart, instantly, wait a second. I don't have to have this feeling. God will take care of this. Even if it went sour or south, he'll make up for it. I'm not worried. Even if I lost something, I'm not worried. I'm going to trust God. I'm just going to replace my worrying and my dread and that little sinking heart feeling. If you recognize a sinking heart feeling, instantly, oh, no. I have a heavenly Father. Lord, I trust you with this. I'm going to cast my care to you. I'm not going to worry about it. That settles it. I'm going to back away from that. I'm going to have a wonderful day. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, God. Even if it went bad, even if that happened, I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm not talking about ignoring it. I'm talking about letting your soul move forward without it. You got to find a way to do that. I'm telling you to do it. You have to find the way internally to do it. You're going to have to quote some scripture. You're going to have to get the word in you so that you have something to stand on. You got to learn your Bible so you know what to replace the worry with. We're not just talking about closing your ears, la, 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 la. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you having something to stand on, some word from God to stand on. I'll quote a few for you here. Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He's a shield to all those who trust in him. Psalm 37, 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Psalm 91, 2, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Hallelujah. Remember last week, Pastor Joni talked about the vision she had, one of my favorite visions that she's ever had, and really that's ever had in the church here by anybody. Was that she saw that every one of us have a special, unique, carved out place before the throne. It's a place of prayer. That we all have our own unique, carved out spot that God has positioned so that you can come near. And you don't get to have my spot, and I don't get to have your spot. But then she saw that some of the spots were empty. She saw a few people kneeling before the Lord, but a lot of the spots were empty. I don't want my place to be empty. Your unique place before God could be empty because you're not praying. And I would say it also could be empty because you're not really trusting. Because true prayer has trust with it. I mean, you can talk to God about anything, anytime. You can even, rehearse all of your troubles. And we could call that prayer because prayer is you communicating with God. At the same time, that prayer is not going to get answers. And so a lot of people use prayer just to feel like they've done something. No, use prayer so that you relinquish your hold on the worry. Then you're before the throne. Then it's trust and confidence and faith and persuasion. And then you can say, I'm trusting God now. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 11. This is Luke's account of what we already read in Matthew 7. Luke 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Now stop there for a second. This is where false teaching has kind of detoured people from God. They've said, you know, you don't know what you need. You ask whatever you want, God will give you what he knows you need. No. And a lot of people say, if you ask him to bless you, he will give you a test to prove you. No. If you ask him to heal you, he might give you a sickness to punish you. No, you need to be confident that your Heavenly Father is never going to give you sickness. You ask for fish, he's not going to give you a serpent, a demon. Isn't that right? You need to know that God is not the sickness giver. Well, it's because, you know, I guess I got this because he's not. Don't do that. God's your Heavenly Father. He's never going to harm you when you ask to be blessed. You ask for something good, he's not going to give you something bad. I know people don't trust themselves because you're not living right or whatever, but don't think that just because you ask for healing, God's feeling like, I don't like you enough today, I'm going to give you something to harm you. I'm not going to trick you. Ask for bread, but here's a piece of bread. It looks like bread, but it's a stone. Break your teeth. No. You need to trust. Listen, you need to trust that when you go to God, your Heavenly Father, notice it's talking about your Father. You ask your Father for something, he'll give it to you. Be sincere. Be honest. If you're honest, sincere, confident, he'll never turn you away. If it's already a promise written in the Bible, he'll certainly never turn you away. Now, you can't go to church and say, God, give me that woman to be my spouse. You can't do that. Don't do that. You chill out. You seek the Lord. Don't be asking God for that one and that one and that one. And it's like, well, next week somebody else comes in and they're better looking. Oh, I want that one instead. Don't do that. There's some things you need to restrain yourself from asking for. Right? Hey, we're trusting that you have a little bit of wisdom and that you understand how to find a spouse at church. There's no meat marketism here. At church, this is not the dating game. The world has the dating process. We don't do it like that here because it leaves God out of the picture. You need to seek the Lord, and then he'll make sure you bump into the right one at the right time. And then we also appreciate when people don't just kind of date around at church as if they're not sure who they're going to marry. Because then, after you break up, guess what? One of you has to leave. Just use a little bit of wisdom. Just a little bit of wisdom. What it means is Christian courting must be different somehow to protect the church, to be right at church. I always try to help people know God's will before you start talking on the phone. You start talking on the phone, getting too much time together, all of a sudden you're connected. How are we going to get you apart? If it's not God's will, how are you going to get apart? You got to do some wise things. That's a whole nother 15-hour message. All right. So don't go around just asking for flippant things. Be honest. Be sincere. Act as if you've planned. You've planned this. I'm going to make a request to God. I've thought through a few things, and here's where I have faith. Don't just go flippantly asking for all sorts of stuff you know you don't have faith for. Plan it. Almost like a business request. Hey, here's some things that I really think that needs to happen, and I'm going to ask the Father for these things. And this one is kind of a big thing, and I don't know if I have faith for it, but I'm going to put it on the table and talk to God about it before I ask. How about that? I'm going to put it on the table and ask God about it before I ask God for it. How about some wisdom in your prayer time rather than just your begging for your prayer list to get complete? This is how it works. You go to your Heavenly Father, though. You ask for a right loaf of bread, you're getting a right loaf of bread instead of a stone. Whatever you do, if you do have a stone that shows up at your life or a serpent, it didn't come from God. Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? No. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Remember, Matthew said good things. How much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? Luke says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Which one is correct? Which one is correct? How come they said different? You ever wondered that? You read the four Gospels and they're very similar, but they're not exact. Like one Gospel says one man, another one says two men. Which is correct? They're both correct. Two men, obviously, would have to be two men came, but one writer highlighted one. You have to realize, think about it. If you put all the words in red together and just kind of read them, recited the words in red, the four Gospels, it would take you about 4 hours. Take you about 4 hours. Don't you think that Jesus preached longer than 4 hours? In 3.5 years, don't you think he preached longer than 4 hours? Some are thinking, no, preachers ought to preach short. No? Don't you think he preached longer than 4 hours? What does that mean? It means he preached this stuff over and over and over and over again. And the different writers heard it different. And he preached it many different ways, many different times. And so you get a you put it all together and you have the conglomeration that these were the messages of Jesus that were recorded. I think it's kind of interesting that he chose four different writers for four different gospels. Give us different angles of the whole picture of his ministry. But don't think that this is all he said. He said a whole lot more. And so he said it both ways. One time he's preaching, he said good things. Another time he's preaching, he said the Holy Spirit. And so we like to use this to help people receive the Holy Spirit. If you've never received the Holy Spirit and tongues and power, you can. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, what's he going to give you? If you ask God for the Holy Spirit, what does it say? How much more will he give you the Holy Spirit? If you ask for the Holy Spirit, what's he going to give you? That means he's not going to give you a demon if you ask for the Holy Spirit. In the old day, people would warn against the old Pentecostal folks, all them tongue-talking people. You got to be careful of them, because if you go asking God for the Holy Spirit, you might get something else. Not my Father. You're reading the wrong Bible. You're ignorant. So quit saying that. You come for the Holy Spirit, he can give you the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. And it doesn't say if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he's going to give you nothing. People say, well, I asked for the Holy Spirit, I didn't get anything. You didn't ask in faith. You didn't believe it enough. You let someone talk you out of it. No. If you want the Holy Spirit and power and tongues and all the really miraculous stuff to start happening in your life and for the Bible to come alive to you, you need the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and if you ask, he'll give it to you. You got to trust that, though. You got to trust that with all your heart. Amen? Praise the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 6. We'll finish with this. Luke chapter 6. We need to build in our own minds this idea that all things are possible with God and that he's an oversupplier. David said, my cup runneth over. My cup runs over. You need to start living life as if your cups, like you have too much. How many of you in here have too much? Come on, how many of you in here have too much? You have too much. Your cup is running over. You got way too much everything. Spare time, you put that on the top of the list. You got way too much spare time. You got way too much. Got way too much. My cup's running over. I just got way too much. Too much what? Too much everything. Too much everything. Matter of fact, this passage right here talks about the too much everything. Look what he says, verse 35, love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, for he's kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father's merciful. So in this context, he's talking about some character things and spiritual things. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. Now that's a principle. Verse 38 is a principle that anything you give, it's going to come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And we use that. And a lot of times we use it during the offering, talk about money. Hey, if you give, you're a giver of money, he's going to give it back to you. and he's going to give it back to you with whatever measure you send it out with. You send it out with a tablespoon, he's going to give you a tablespoon times 10 back. If you send it out with a teaspoon, you get your 10 teaspoons back. Wheelbarrow, 10 wheelbarrows, 100 wheelbarrows. I don't know how many wheelbarrows, but he's going to measure it coming back the way you measured it going out. Isn't that interesting? Dump truck. You measured it out with a dump truck, like, whoa, this is a big, heavy load I'm giving. It's coming back in dump trucks. Make sense? You need to have some confidence that your God is abundant. He's never going to let you run out. So however you're distributing, he's distributing back. Now let's apply it to the spiritual concepts. If you're giving out mercy, you're going to get lots of mercy back. If you're a harsh judge toward others, guess what? If it's hard for you to forgive when someone hurts you, you're not going to experience the forgiveness of God like you should. If you're a peacemaker, guess what? You'll have peace in your life. If you have chaos in your life all the time, guess what? You've been a deliverer, a distributor of chaos. It's a spiritual concept. Spiritual concept. You will get it, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Put some more in. More. Like you do your trash can. Right? What does this mean? And then it's going to be so much, it's going to start flowing up. It's like, it's too packed. Somebody take the trash out. That's a bad example for a blessing, but. Come on, this is spiritual reality. You need to believe it. Like the preacher did not make up this passage. Well, I guess the preacher made this passage up. Jesus is the ace preacher. Some people think that he was just a mild-mannered teacher. No, I think he was a preacher. I think he really said it, and he probably said it louder than most people liked. Some people like teachers a lot, and then the preacher comes up, and it's like, oh, man, they're just all in me, all in my business, preaching, too heavy. Huh? Well, Jesus was both. You're going to have to learn how to like both. Now, some people like others up in their business, so they like preachers better. Teachers are like, it's not really touching me. They need a preacher to get all up in their life. Hope you like both around here. Praise the Lord. So God has always been a God of more than enough. You know that. You've heard that term before. Jesus needs to feed people, and it's like, well, how much do we have? Well, I'll just multiply that. So give me what we do have. What, 5 and a few fishes? So here we are, we're going to break the bread, and here you go, here's a piece for you. Oh, another piece. It keeps making a full loaf. Or a fish. Here, give me the fish. Fish and a tail. So, oh, here's a fish head. Oh, here's a fish tail. Here's a fish head, and it just keeps growing. Tail becomes a head, head becomes a tail, and it just keeps going and going. Or maybe they were filleting it. Here's a fillet for you. Flip it. Here's a fillet for you. I got another one in here. Okay, here's a fillet for you. Another fillet for you. I don't know if it was cooked or if it was sushi. I don't know. It could have been either. It could have been cooked fish. I'm voting for cooked fish. How many voting for cooked fish? That should have been mentioned in here, that the fish was cooked and he distributed cooked fish to everybody. Praise the Lord. God has plenty. He's got it prepared for you. Whatever you need, he's got it. You need to know why you need it and what you need it for. One scripture we quote a lot in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 9 says, God's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. If you have a work in mind, he's going to make all sufficiency abound. If you're just trying to get fat and rich and sit on your pile, it ain't coming from God. But if you have a work to do, if you have a plan, if you have a desire to do something good with money or with your life, there's all sufficient abundant supply coming. Can you believe it? You got to trust the Lord. Can't trust in the money. That means you can't make plans whether you have money or not. You got to make plans that you have God with you. You cannot wait on the money before you take a step. That means you're trusting in money, waiting on money, looking to see if you have enough money, looking to wait for, I mean, you're like obeying money. You can't obey money. You must obey God. If it's God's will, you take the step and He'll supply.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.